Help us tonight as we hear your word. Help me as I talk. Help me to present it in a way that is pleasing to you and glorifies you. Please forgive me of my wrongs and help us always. This I pray in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My sermon tonight is Our Lord Desires Mercy, Not Sacrifice. My text revolves around Hosea 5:15 and Hosea 6:1 through 6. Hosea 5:15, then I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt. And they will seek my face in their misery, they will earnestly seek me. Hosea 6:1 through 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore I cut you to pieces with my prophets. I kill you with the words of my mouth. My judgment flashed like lightning upon you. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? God is saying, what can I do with you, Israelites? What can I do with you, my chosen people? What can I do with you, Gentiles? What can I do with you, Christians? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. What is being said here is they are like a person who looks in the mirror and then immediately looks away and forgets who they are. James 1:23-24. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and then after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. We are Christians. We always need to be changing to be like Jesus. Do we see Jesus when we look in the mirror? Or the old self we used to be. If we don't see Jesus in the mirror, then we'd better pray for help and guidance. God is always there for us. I ask myself, what would I do if Jesus were here with me? We know the Holy Spirit is here with us. My answer is always the same. Jesus went where the sinners were. He went to them. He talked to them. He loved them. Jesus wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty working with sinners. We need to go where the sinners are in Ventura County or wherever our heart takes us. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go, do, and tell the world about Jesus. That is our calling. Be faithful to the end. Hypocrisy is a very dangerous and infectious disease. Hypocrisy means saying one thing and doing another, or saying one thing and believing another. It's a dangerous, infectious disease because it infects and affects each one of us from one time or another. It is an age-old problem of God's people who sometimes came to the temple to worship out of a sense of duty. They came to offer sacrifices as an obligation. They came to do worship just to get it over and done with. God's people had forgotten that love for God was to motivate them to show their love to the Lord. The simple fact is when Jesus came and lived on the earth, he ran into the same problem. Jesus came to the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, and who were trained in religion and righteousness. Yet they too liked to follow the law so much they forgot the Lord's gospel of love and forgiveness. Finally, the Lord Jesus had to look at them, and it says in Matthew 15:7-8, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. The These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The prophet Hosea talks about that very same problem in our text tonight. The hearts of the children of Israel were far from the Lord. So Hosea comes to the conclusion, as he reminds them and reminds us tonight of our theme, our Lord desires mercy, not sacrifice. This is divine mercy, not lip service. It is seen in our faithful Christian lives, telling people about Jesus and doing good where we can. Hosea, who was a minor prophet, comes with the same message that the major prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah did. He came with a message of warning for repentance. Because the children of Israel once again had slid into the valley of disobedience. They were turning away from the Lord instead of toward him. The Lord was going to give them one more chance. My children, do not listen. Over and over, the Lord had sent his prophets to his people and told them, turn away from these false gods. Over and over, the Lord had sent warnings to them and said they were going to be forsaken. God said they would be killed with his words. The Lord raised up their enemies throughout their history to defeat them. That this was God's judgment against their disobedience. This was God's judgment against their unfaithfulness. God has shown them mercy for their love, which is short-lived. God describes it like the morning mist, which is blown away with the first breath of the wind. God describes it like the early dew, which disappears with the first rays of the sun. The Lord says that their love is not a lasting love, but is only an outward show of love. It is only a lip service. Then he comes to the conclusion, which is our main thought for the night. The Lord says in Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Over and over, the children of Israel had come with their sense of duty to offer sacrifices. They had come to the temple as an obligation to offer burnt offerings. And they simply had forgotten about God's mercy. The Lord speaks the same warning to us today. He says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. It is easy for us to become distracted in this world. It becomes easy for us to think we too need to come to worship as a sense of duty or an obligation or as something we have to check a list to get out of the way. Worship can become meaningless because we are very closely connected to our sinful nature from Adam and Eve. We are born with a sinful nature that stands not in neutral, but not in neutral, but as an enemy of God. So at every turn and at corner, sin tries to make that which God wants us to do seem like something that is just our duty. Of course, Satan tempts us and distracts us, as does the world in which we live. The sickness and disease of hypocrisy, it infects us all. The prophet Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 33:31, my people come to you as they usually do, and they sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouths they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Who among us at times has not been distracted, thinking of other things rather than God's word during worship? I often find myself many times at worship thinking about other thoughts, work, play, whatever, something other than my worship to God. I stop and pray to God to clear my mind of other thoughts and think only about him. Praying allows me to clear my mind. When I am at worship service, it is only supposed to be about God. As Christians, our minds should always be focused on godly things. We have the desires of the world haunting us and pulling us into the pit with Satan at the helm. There are any number of reasons to miss church. A car show, a sport event, a concert, I stayed up last night. We need church worship services to become closer to each other and to God. Church services energize us, strengthen us, and better prepare us to fight off evil and to do good works. And also, we should always think about and remember what Jesus did for us at the cross. What if Jesus had said, I can't go to the cross today. I have to finish building a table, a barrel for wine, a house, or whatever. He was a carpenter. Jesus didn't have that attitude. Jesus loved his Father, our God. Jesus set the example for us to follow. We need to continually focus our minds on what Jesus did while he was here. We can't let the pressures of the earth pull us back, of the world pull us back into the darkness of sin. We are children of light. We are being tested for heaven. We are to store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. We need to remember that what God has blessed us with belongs to God. We should be good stewards of our blessings. These are only my thoughts, but they're not in the Bible. But often I wonder if maybe our treasure in heaven is made from doing good works for people on earth. And when we get to heaven, those people will remember us. Therefore, we will have lots of friends in heaven. I can't say that's what it's all about, but it's something to think about. We are told to do good works. There is a purpose or many purposes for it. God is love. It's all about love and mercy, not sacrifice. Ephesians 2:10. One of my favorite verses. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The Lord says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. One of our problems is that we don't spend all our week sitting here in church, in a church pew, being blessed by the preaching of God's word and the singing of hymns. That would be good for us spiritually. Instead, week after week, we leave the comfort of our church and our pew, and we go out and we live in this world. We spend much of our day among those who care little or nothing about God and Christian values. Because of that, our lives are infected with the world instead of thinking about God. We should always take time to pray during the day about everything and anything, thanking God for all the little blessings that he provides us. Praying brings us closer to God and gets our life back in focus about Jesus. Pray often and thank God for all things good and for his help in fighting and protecting us from all things bad. There's a lot of bad out there. We must always remember that God wants a relationship with us. God wants our hearts full of love for him, not our sacrifices. The Lord Jesus used the very simple parable of the seed and the sower to explain the influence of the world. Then, for us to understand it, Jesus explained it in Luke 8:14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature. When we look at our life, we have to admit from time to time we have been choked out by the worries of this life. Maybe from time to time or even right now, we are worried or thinking about other life issues that cause God's word not to mature us. We rejoice tonight that we are here to be reminded that indeed the Lord does desire mercy and not sacrifice. He desires not just our lips, but our hearts and our lives. Sadly, we know that as the world goes around year after year, there are many who don't grow closer to God. But just the opposite, they run farther away. The Lord reminds us that the world will grow even more evil before the day of judgment. Sadly, then, some, like the children of Israel, follow other gods. and then the word of God is choked out completely. Paul wrote to Titus 1:16, "They claim to know God, but their actions then do not. But by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good." We see it in the world around us. Many claim to know God, but their actions show something different. Many claim to be Christian, and yet their lives don't always reflect that. And Christians of Paul's time did not have smartphones or TVs or movie theaters or cars. We have too many worldly distractions. We need a time out from the world daily to pray, to study, and to get revived, or we too will let our idols rule us. As Christians, our lives need to be continually refocused on Jesus, what he did and how he did things when he lived on earth. Jesus gave us plenty of examples to follow. The Lord says to them, as he also reminds us, he desires mercy, not sacrifice. Not just mere lip service, but faithful lives doing good. We are God's shining lights unto a lost world. What does it mean? To me, it means in my walk with Jesus, I have a lot of good work to do every day. God hasn't given me a schedule, just a scripture to follow. When do I rest or retire from doing good? Well, it says be faithful until the end of my life to get my home in heaven. Remember, the main point here is love. Do everything because of love. And again, I repeat Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Can't be much clearer than that. So, mercy without faithful lives. It was the last chance for the children of Israel. Time and time again, the Lord had warned his people. God had sent them prophets to turn them from false gods. He had sent them judgments. Now they are in the promised land, and they had another chance to repent. They knew of repentance, of course. They look at the Lord and they blame him for hurting them when he had not. But they also understood that he was able to heal them. Their God was able to help them if they would turn to him. Hosea 6, let us acknowledge the Lord. Hosea 6:3, let us acknowledge the Lord. Hosea 6:2, after 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will restore us that we may live in his presence. It reminds us of the Lord's resurrection, when after 3 days he was restored to life and the tomb was empty. These people would say, the Lord will restore us. They knew of God's mercy, and that wasn't just a hit and miss prospect. His mercy did not depend on them or their obedience. They often disobeyed. Listen to how they describe the mercy of God and his forgiveness. Hosea 6:3. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth, just as the day chases the night, just as the rain waters the earth. This is how sure and certain the Lord's love. He comes to his people time and time again to show his people his mercy, that they might live in the joy of God's salvation. These were the words of warning. These were the words of encouragement from Hosea the prophet. As our text began, what does it say about all this? He writes, Hosea 5, that then I go back to my place until they admit their guilt. The Lord was waiting for them to repent. Because they had followed false gods and forgotten the Lord, the Israelites had often merely offered sacrifices out of a sense of duty and obligation. So Hosea waits for their repentance. Hosea continues, and they will seek my face in their misery. They will earnestly seek me. As we continue to the end of these words and read the rest of the story, we find that the children of Israel did not repent at this warning. The children of God did not understand this mercy instead of sacrifice. The Lord raised up enemies against them once again. They were taken away as slaves, never to be returned to the promised land. As slaves in a foreign land, just as Hosea said, "And they will seek my face in their misery. They will earnestly seek me." They had dwelt in the promised land. They had forgot the Lord. They were taken away as captives. They remembered how good it had been. The Lord desired mercy, not sacrifice. They finally remembered the Lord in their misery. Today, we do not have to wait until the Lord takes us to some miserable place called hell, so that in our misery we cry, "O Lord, help us." But today, and each and every day, we can recall for ourselves how much the Lord loves us. God loves us more than we love him, and we rejoice. God loves us more than we can imagine, and we are comforted and encouraged. We don't deserve the Lord's love. We sin daily and we sin much. Yet as sure as the sun rises, that is how sure we are of the Lord's love and forgiveness for us. Because Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is faithful even though we are unfaithful. The Lord loves us even though we do not care to love him back. The Lord is obedient to all of his promises, even and in spite of the fact that we are disobedient. How great is the love the Lord lavishes on us day after day, because he delights to show his mercy for us. Oh, we know that someday, sometimes we wonder, will the world come to an end today? When will the Lord return? We wonder how soon Jesus will come back as the righteous judge. None of us know. We pray that Jesus will come quickly, but the Lord reminds us daily that he is also patient, for the Lord doesn't want to see anyone perish. God does not want to pronounce judgment on these children of Israel, but they would not listen. They did not listen. They turned away from him. So they turned away from God's blessings, and God turns his blessing away from them. But we are comforted in the fact that the Lord delights to show us his mercy. He is patient. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us the Lord is slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We begin to understand when the Lord says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." The Lord desires mercy because he has shown us mercy. Jesus has also shown us love. Jesus has shown us compassion. Jesus has shown us forgiveness. The list goes on. So because of Jesus, we are anxious then to live our lives as shining lights in a sin-darkened world. We are anxious to live our lives not because we are under compulsion, not as a sense of duty or an obligation or a feeling that we must do it, but as a response to God's love for us. We want to be faithful Christians. So we come to worship not because we have to, but because we want to. This is the new person in us defeating our sinful nature. We realize then, as we sit here tonight and are encouraged and strengthened in our faith, that our worship is not just Sunday morning or evening, but our worship is every day, 24/7, and should become our way of life. Romans 12:1, we read, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." The Lord reminds us we can live as believers in this world. This is our spiritual worship. Believers can do what is right, even though people around us do what is wrong. Christians can stand up for God, what God says is right, even though people might deny God's sovereign will. This is our spiritual worship. This is what it means when the Lord desires mercy, not sacrifice. Our loving Lord reminds us today to not just go through the motions, but to be dedicated to the Lord in our worship. Not just with our lips, but in our lives. Not just on Sunday, but hour by hour, day by day, year after year. In Hebrews 13:15 and 16, we are told, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God our sacrifice of praise, the fruits of our lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Let the Lord desires mercy, not sacrifice, not just words from our lips, but actions from our hearts and our lives of love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So when you look in the mirror, do you see Jesus there? We have to ask. Everybody has to ask that. I ask that question every day. And I probably need to ask it more than you guys do. Is your life built on loveless, meaningless sacrifice? Remember, the world pulls us back away from Jesus. The world is full of lost souls, and that is why we are here. We're saved. God has us to help them become saved. You hear the word? Car rallies, perfect example. It ain't about the cars. It's about the people we get here. This is an opportunity to serve God and to serve Ventura County. We are the light in a dark world without hope, without Jesus. And everybody, even if they don't realize it, if they don't have Jesus, they're without hope. End of story. It's not going to be a pretty picture. And I don't know about you, I don't want to face somebody that is at judgment and they're going to hell because I didn't do my job. It's something to think about. God wants our cheerful hearts. Is that you? God wants our hearts full of love and mercy like him. Is that you? Is that me? We have to think about this. God wants us as cheerful givers. Is that you? So what are you doing for God in your part of the world, Ventura County? Who is your neighbor? Just pick someone and keep picking. And keep picking until it's over, till your last breath. For it's never over until your last breath. We're here to do good. That's what God wants. Mercy, not sacrifice. Only you and God know the answer to these questions. Please think about it. It's our job. It's what we told God we would do when we accepted Jesus. We're the only ones that can do it. And there's a lot of work to do out there. Please come forward at this time for any reason you might have. Thank you. So.
If you didn't have a chance to take the Lord's Supper, you can join Destiny down here in front. And we'll sing the first verse of 416. 416.
Example for us. Father, we pray that you bless this bread as it represents that broken body that was broken for us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father in heaven, we come to you once again, asking that you bless this fruit of the vine, representing that blood that was shed for each of us. And this we pray through Jesus' name.